Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 54, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Monday, October 22nd, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Oh, Daily, you got what I see, but you say Jack O'Brien. But you say Jack O'Brien. That's Biz Markie, and courtesy of courtesy of Nathan Hanson. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, 1, 2, Miles Neal before you. That's what I said. Now, Miles, Miles, who adore you, Jack O'Brien. Now, one has hot takes in his pockets. I fuck with that now. This one said he wants to pay you domino. So go ahead now. Okay, the last part, last little bit of scene.
Nah.
The beginning was markedly lit.
That was great.
That is from at our boy, Travis S. Butcher.
Travis, well done.
Follow him on IG too. Yo, he's a very skilled butcher, at American Butcher on IG. If you just want to be tantalized by all kinds of meat butchery videos, he's the plug.
I thought his last name was Butcher, and I was going to say, much like your name, you butchered the ending. That's not actually accurate, so I apologize.
So well done, sir.
Anyways, we're thrilled to be joined by the hilarious comedian for the second time. All right, Mr. Eric Lampere.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Do I need to sing a song as well?
If you have one.
I see an Eric and I want to paint him black.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is actually probably inappropriate.
Yes, exactly. It would be inappropriate.
Yes.
I can feel it calling in Lampere tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Something like that,
Oh, Lord.
It's good to be back, guys.
Yeah, it's good to have
you. Do you remember? Remember that part? Wow. Fucking Genesis, huh?
Oh, I thought that was Michael.
I can show you.
Wow. Man. Miles is...
What a voice. Woo.
Must have had a...
Sorry? That's solo Phil Collins. Okay, whatever. Yes. You know, Nick, super producer stuff, is always coming through with facts that don't vibe with my ego.
Right. Always undercutting you.
That's what I call when he corrects me. I say, why are you cutting my ego down? They're like, these are facts. Anyway, I digress.
Eric, your last name is spelt Lamp Art.
It's like A-E-R-T at the end.
Yeah, A-E-R-T.
It's got a Germanic feel.
Yeah, right. But you are one of the only people who gave me a pronunciation guide to your name when we were doing live podcasts back at Cracked. You said
because
it's like lamb pear.
Yeah, like a lamb and a pear. Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
But and the thing is, that's how I say it.
Yeah.
But my mom says lampard. She's Francais.
Yeah.
And then in the north, the Belgians will say lampert. They'll say the T. There's a T at the end.
Yeah, that's a real fuck you, you know?
It's very
the Belgians,
confusing.
Come on. All right, we're going to get to know you even better in a moment.
You have a thing against the Flemish.
First, we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. The goal of our show is we're trying to tell you what the nation is thinking and talking about today, taking a dive into America and sometimes the rest of the world's shared unconscious and conscious, using the headlines, box office reports, what's trending on Google, social media. Today, we're going to talk about there's a big breakthrough in the world of booze and cold brew, getting hot, mixing uppers and downers. There's a new way to do that, and that is booze and
cold brews.
We're also going to talk about Netflix's new policy of actually canceling shows. We're going to talk about the shouting match that was heard around the world. John Kelly and the Johns, Kelly and Bolton, got into a shouting match at the White House, like a couple of desperate housewives who can't be trusted to behave in public. We're going to talk about what that was over. The GOP is about to snap off the racism knob, as Miles put it.
They're cranking up the racism to like a. They're running out of levels. They're going to have to create new forms of racism.
Yes, we actually did know it went to 11, but this is going beyond that. We're going to talk about the Trump Organization's history as a business and just some suspicious details. We're going to talk about the president's stance towards journalists and also the Little Whisper campaign. It's a nice, friendly-sounding way to explain that the Republicans in Washington are doing a little smearing of Khashoggi to sort of defend Trump's stance towards Saudi Arabia, even though he has come out and said, yeah, I think it was them. He's still not going to do shit about it. And so the Republicans have decided that they're going to make it look like Khashoggi is a terrorist. Surprise, surprise. I did not see them going in that direction.
Mm-mm.
Rihanna said no to the NFL, to the Super Bowl halftime show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's making Miles give a fuck about global warming, and we're going to do a quick check-in with the Bloid Watch. But first, Eric, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Porn, I guess.
Okay. Right. And what is something you think is overrated?
I like that you just search. What's your search? Porn.
On Google?
That's the search. Google porn.
No, I'll tell you what, a comedian's search history is very, very strange.
Oh, yeah, that's why we ask.
That is very,
there's
very
interesting,
like,
things.
Yeah, there's a lot of random crap in there.
Give me one random crap.
Well, at the moment, I'm sort of researching a lot about reality, you know, and trying to learn, what is reality.
Okay. And is Google helpful for that?
No, Google makes it even more confusing,
right?
Because Google is. Have you noticed that Google is now finishing your emails?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's interesting, because at some point Google's going to know exactly what you want to send and you'll never have to just log in.
Yeah.
Google will just send the emails for you.
I know your vibe now. This is how you would respond to a, email inviting you to a dinner or some shit.
Yeah, right. I just always pick the second option, just roll the dice with whatever that says.
You just hit tab constantly
Fill
it.
Yep.
And now I don't know.
And we're
good.
And have you also noticed the rise in incest porn?
Yes.
I don't know what that is about.
No, right. You're being serious, right?
Yeah,
because I'm dead serious about this too. What they do now is, because straight up incest headlines are like, obviously that's gonna weird people out. It's always like step brother, step sister.
Yeah, they make
step
it legal.
Mom. Yeah. So it's like it's only highly disgusting and not illegal. But yeah, that's like, I don't know why that's a wave
I don't get it. I mean, I'll watch them.
Recontextualize it.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If you don't know that, actually, like, it just played, it's only the headline that would suggest that it's like that. Well, that's the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, I make sure that they are indeed related before I,
Right.
before I judged a video.
They're holding IDs next to each other on camera.
It's interesting. There was a trend I noticed when I was looking at old commercials from like the 70s that I guess male sexuality during that period was really focused on like really young women, like super young women, like 11 and 12 year olds. There was this ad for this perfume that was called like Baby Soft, and it had a woman who was probably like in her 20s, but she was dressed as a baby, and the title,
like a bonnet and shit,
like a bonnet, and she was licking a lollipop, and the tagline was "Nothing sexier than a baby." And
God.
And then there was like, that was when the Brooke Shields thing happened with Calvin Klein jeans, where Brooke Shields was like 14.
Yeah.
And everybody. So I just wonder if there are like weird like trends happening below the surface of our, you know, that just if we just really focused on YouPorn search trends, and because they report stuff, but the stuff they report is generally not that interesting.
Well, sometimes they do like an overall like sort of metrics of what people are into.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what's the dark shit? I want to know the dark shit that people are into, because apparently we're making a run at the incest taboo right now. That's what's going on below the surface.
But it is funny though, because all of that would suggest that it's incest or some kind of familial relationship is the beginning. They'll be like, hey, you didn't clean your room.
Right.
I'm sorry. And then it's like a sex scene.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between. It's like, I'm your stepdad or whatever. It's like, okay.
That is how my mom got to make me clean my room. She was like, clean your room, Eric. I don't want to. And she was like, well, look at my breasts. She was French. So it's very free over there. Yeah. Very free.
To be expected.
It's not as puritanical as it is.
Right. And also, I guess one other way to look at that is that it's been an obsession of humanity since the ancient Greeks and the edible complex. So maybe it's not a super recent trend. Who knows? What is something you think is overrated?
I just thought of a stupid edibles brand. That's the edibles
edible complex.
Complex.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that as well. I was like,
it'll make you fuck your mom and rip your eyes out. Isn't that what he did? Didn't he rip his own eyes out?
He ripped, yeah. I think one of them, maybe both.
No, I think he stabbed them. He stabbed both of them.
Stabbed
he
both?
Yeah.
Old Rexy definitely fucked his eyes up after that. Anyway, sorry.
All that shit.
The reason he's called Oedipus Rex is actually he had very stunted arms.
that's why he needed a knife, because his hand wouldn't reach his own eye, right. So he needed a tool.
That's such a nice joke.
Yeah.
Welcome to our second-rate podcast.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, sneakers. I mean, since living in LA, I see lines and lines of people just outside sneaker stores, or what I call trainers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What?
Very European.
It's just shoes, guys.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
It's because it's a few things. There was a recent study by some kind of psychological journal that was saying that materialism is like exponentially rising with younger people right now.
Oh, it's in.
Yeah.
Oh. Like materialism stuff is so in hot right now.
Well, it's so weird because I noticed too on like Instagram, you see like 14-year-old kids wearing like basically the equivalent of like $1,400 outfits of like expensive streetwear brands.
Right.
And like they have like a Louis Vuitton Supreme leather jacket on. They're like first day of sophomore year of high school. And you're like, okay, well, anyway, that's clearly your family.
Is it because like we now live in a reality where we actually live online, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like Sims. You've got like these characters. They're the characters online. And they've got like these beautiful sneakers and like t-shirts. And like, oh, look how many likes I can get.
Yeah, it's your avatar. But I think also, been a huge sneakerhead since I could ever afford to buy my own shoes. And the game has changed. You know, like it used to be just for the people who really liked the sneakers and they would wear them and that was all good. And then as they gained value, the reseller market came up and that caused a lot of people now to just buy things simply to just make a profit off of buying these things and then profiting off these other people who are then the second market was like the materialistic people with disposable income who are there for the Instagram flex.
Yeah.
The game's all fucked up right now.
Yeah. I think it's like Instagram and the fact that, I don't know, the corporate America figured something out, because during the 90s, there was such a thing as selling out, and then that just went away. Corporate America figured out like, oh, we need to do this to infiltrate their psyches, and now kids are like, selling out? Yeah, I wish.
Yeah.
I wish to fucking sell out. Yeah. Like,
I wish they would buy me.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. If you enjoy pair of sneakers, I won't judge you for that.
Yeah.
But for me, the idea of like meeting someone and then looking at, because I look at people in the eyes, and then the idea of looking them down and going, "Ooh shit, ooh, you got,
look at
you those. Got
those? What are those?
Yeah, we can't talk."
Yeah. Right.
damn, where'd you get those?
I have never waited in line, mostly just off the principle of it. I just don't feel like that's something you wait in line, like camp out for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking, if you can't get them, then whatever. And or do, you know, people use bots. Like, that's another thing people use is, like, they buy, they're, like, algorithmic programs that will, like, instantly buy something, like, force buy a product for you online because everyone's trying to buy something. But if you have bots, you have an advantage. It's, the game is fucked up, like I said.
Yeah. I'm not above it. And also, I've been judging kids by their sneakers since I was 10.
Yeah.
Like, at basketball camp.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I remember.
Well, basketball camp especially because, like, there wasn't, like, cool gear that you could have other than your shoes. So
the shoes were, like, the thing. Like, oh, he got those CB34 Charles Barkley Air Maxes.
Right.
Like, yeah, I remember being, like, catching myself as a kid being like, wait, you're being wildly superficial.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too.
Oh, you're whack. Oh. Look at your shit shoes.
Actually, that makes sense now. In America, you don't have school uniforms, do you?
Right.
Well, it depends. If you go
to
public school,
but not
I went. I went to uniform school.
So
sneakers were like my one way to differentiate.
That makes sense because in the UK, regardless of whether it's public or private, we all have school uniforms.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to have like trainers or anything or sneakers.
Oh, even down to the shoes, probably, right?
Like
or there's a
shoes.
Very very strict rule like they have to be sort of dress shoes or something.
Yeah. So I didn't think about it actually. Is this like a sort of status symbol in school?
Oh yeah. And that's why a lot of public schools began to do uniforms too, because they're like free dress is like too much of a distraction for some kids.
It's a distraction, but also it's like it makes you feel shit if you're poor.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
Especially when kids pull up in $1,400 outfits and you're just rocking some regular shit.
If you're doing just the like broad outline school uniform where it's like, okay, you have to have a white shirt and like black khakis or something.
Blackies.
Well-known blackies.
Isolate that soundbite.
Yes. I feel like that can get you in trouble. My cousin went to this all-girls school in Los Angeles and it was like a school uniform, but because there were like, you could like sort of color inside the lines and a little bit outside the lines. Like then it was like there were three pieces of clothing that you like had to get that everybody had. And then like it was like the dope like white shirt or whatever.
Oh, right. Like the fit of it was different.
And like the designer, like it just like lessens the number of things that you can do. And so the focus becomes even more intense.
Yeah.
On, like
yeah.
Who the designer is or what the tag says or whatever.
We always had to go to like a uniform shop that was like out in some industrial park.
Right.
And it was called like Sue Mills or Dennis Uniform Company.
Right.
And like you'd be there and like it was a racket too.
Yeah.
Where like the schools are making money, they were making money. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, you got to make your uniform impossible to make look cool.
The only way we could flex is change the color of your undershirt of your polo.
Oh, nice.
And then they catch on. They're like, you can only be black or white because I wear like orange or like where
right.
like
you could flex with a beautiful lexicon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There you
don't have to. It doesn't have to be on the outside.
You would be the coolest teacher. Let me tell you about
I'd
another
be a good teacher,
type of
but
flex,
I
my
I'd
young
be a
student.
Great teacher, but I was an awful student in terms of like, gentlemen, why not use our lexicons? Get him!
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated besides lexicons?
I don't know. Toilets.
Okay.
You know, if you think about it, we all have it. We all need a shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. We all need to pee. And we just use this toilet forgetting the rich history of toilets.
Mm.
If you think about it, right? Like, you know, not that long ago, we were shitting in buckets and throwing it in the streets.
Chamber pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's something quite nice about, like, just looking at a toilet and going, thanks. Thanks for taking all of this stuff away.
That I can press a button and last night's Indian food vanishes.
thank your toilet today, Zaikang.
embrace your toilet.
Yeah, there used to be so many shit-based professions. Like, that was a large part of the economy back in, like, Middle Ages was just like, you know, there was the chambermaid was dealing with the chamber pot and emptying people's shit.
So in a way, it was a jobs killer.
Right.
That's how I look at it. So,
yeah,
you know,
the toilet
overrated.
Jobs killer.
Think about all the jobs
that's
we lost.
True. Yeah. Apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies for taking those jobs away.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay. So let's talk about reality again. People are adamant that we do live in the real reality.
Okay.
But if, statistically speaking, there's going to be more and more virtual realities created in the future, which means that there is going to be an infinite amount of realities created. So mathematically, the odds that we're in this real reality, the one real reality, is statistically impossible.
What?
So you know, we live in this lovely reality of ours.
I don't think this is reality.
Right? You don't think so?
So we're already on the wrong page. No,
okay, we're on the right page.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But like statistically speaking, there's going to be so many realities that are going to be created in the future, right? An almost infinite amount of realities that will be created.
How are you defining reality? That's the...
So, like if you think about video games up to this point, they've gotten better and better and more realistic. If you assume that those simulations are going to keep getting better and better and more realistic, which why wouldn't it with technology?
Oh, that at a certain point we can go into another level.
Yeah, it'll be impossible to differentiate.
At some point, you'll be able to create the game Sims. You'll be able to create these characters who believe that they are real, who have self-awareness and stuff, just like we currently have. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, and you might be a character of somebody else. You might be a brain in a vat somewhere. It's impossible to know. This is what, when people say that Elon Musk thinks that we all live in the Matrix, this is the argument that got him there.
Well, I mean, yeah, all we're doing is just sort of interpreting different electrical impulses and stimuli to create even what we see now. Not everyone is even seeing that the same
Everything around us is sort of made of this electricity, which is like just a machine. It's just, basically, either way, it doesn't actually matter because whether we're in a simulation or not, you know, we're still doing the daily zeitgeist. Yeah. We're still going to go use a toilet. Still gonna get the sneakers.
And what's sad, even in my simulation, this is still a second-rate podcast.
Right, exactly.
I can't even give myself the next level.
I will program it such that I host a second-rate podcast.
Oh, even in your greatest dream.
That is a question that I have about people who think they live in the Matrix. Is it tends to be people like Elon Musk. I just heard Matt Damon interviewed on the Bill Simmons podcast. And he was like, yeah, once Goodwill Hunting hit, and like that's when I really started feeling like I lived in the Matrix. Like, just like things got so good that he's like, that it's almost mathematically like, why would I be the one who has the best life in the world?
Like, I don't deserve it. Or something?
And yeah, basically weird survivor's guilt. Or like, whatever. Tarantino's talked about the fact that once you succeed, you immediately have this like counterfeit like complex where you're just think you're a fraud.
And what about unsuccessful people with imposter syndrome?
That's what I'm thinking is that...
the struggling imposters.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that the people who I hear arguing for the Matrix thing are always successful people, like your Eric Lampere's. What was the movie?
Elon Musk's.
Recently. Oh, Valerian?
Yeah, Valerian.
Yeah, that one, I guess.
It comes with being, you know, a movie star. I think
it comes down to is time. I am very thankful and privileged, I guess, for this job because it means I have time to really read all the books on it, to really get it.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
Because like to think about genuinely thinking that you live in a different reality and actually understanding it, not just going, oh yeah, it's possible.
I can see that, right. But really trying to, yeah.
Like that took me like a good three big sort of best time sellers, you know, books kind of thing on the subject.
Do you read a lot of Alan Watts?
No.
Yeah, that's another thinker who more like on the spiritual side of things sort of talks about like how could we know what we're experiencing.
Right, and then if you think about like DMT and stuff like that, it takes you on these different realities. Like a reality might not necessarily be the Matrix where you live in a computer. It could very well be the fact that we are just Homo sapiens trying to make sense of this reality. What cats see, what fucking flies see. It's all different things. They see different waves of light and stuff like that. We're just seeing what Homo sapiens can see.
Yeah.
Right.
And so once we get to this next level of Eva Homo Deus, you know, like, because we were talking about me pretending to be paleoanthropologists.
Yeah, right, at weddings.
At weddings and stuff, right?
We were, exchanging wedding tactics.
You know, like, we're all Homo sapiens. And then before that, it was like Hurtubigensis and Erectus and Habilis. And then you can go all the way back, right? But Homo sapiens hasn't finished. It's not like we're done, guys. We smashed evolution.
Right, yeah, we got like, at least 12 years left.
Like with technology, now it's we're able to upgrade ourselves, which is super interesting. And once we can upgrade ourselves, maybe we'll start seeing more things. Start seeing sense more things.
Yeah,
like the Matrix.
Yeah,
like you'll just start seeing the shit. Scroll down.
Yes, there are definitely animals that can see colors that we can't even conceive of, like our brain does not have those colors as possibilities. So It's mad. Thanks a lot, Dad. To everything.
You shitty eyes. Tell me there's more colors I can't see.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, let you guys think about that, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And rich people have found a way to drink Four Loko or get the equivalent experience of Four Loko. We have Four Loko for rich and gullible whites. Booze-infused cold brew, also a little bit of a tongue twister.
Hey, well, look, I'm not rich, gullible, or white, and I would fucking drink the shit out of this. So adjust your marketing plan.
Okay, my bad.
Well, look, you know, I like cold brew, and I like alcohol. And why not combine the two so I'm completely in a weird place?
Also, surely that's not new.
No, I don't.
Adding alcohol to coffee has been around for fucking ages.
Right.
Why is everyone just losing their bloody minds?
I think because it's canned. And now if you're just,
mate, booze in cans? I'm from the UK. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
People have been Irishing up their morning coffee for years.
My great-grandma.
Yeah, that's the adjective is Irish coffee.
Yeah, she's 100 years old, still alive. Mm-hmm. And every day she has a coffee with a bit of booze in it.
Yeah.
In the morning?
Yeah.
I don't know what. I think she wakes up at like 6 p.m. now. She's losing it. She's struggling now. Yeah. But
my grandmother who lived to be 101, she had beer every day. She drank beer every day.
Yeah.
Like, loved it. And if she didn't have it, like, she will always tell my uncle who she lives with, like, yo, where's my beer? Like, I need my
in the can?
Beer. Yeah. Little, because in Japan, they have, like, little tiny half cans. So she would drink, like, these little cute little Sapporo beers.
Right.
And get, like, shit housed off of one, though.
Biru wo nomimasu.
Biru nomimasu, hai. Yeah, biru ga desu kudatte. But anyway, so, I mean, this is interesting. What they're trying to do is create a drink that is high-minded enough that even if you were had the most discerning palate for coffee, you'd be like, wait, this is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. But each can, they're saying about 12.5 ABV for this cocktail.
So that's a highly, highly alcoholic beer.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's about
average wine.
Yeah, and they say, they have espresso shot flavored mocha, salted caramel. It's called Cafe Agave, a premium dark blend, premium blend.
Yeah.
Shout out to my grandma. of dark roast Arabica coffee, cold brewed to extract the highest amounts of natural caffeine with real cream.
Agave, that has nothing to do with tequila. I'm thinking of a different...
No, but there is agave in some tequilas, isn't there?
Okay.
Yeah, I think you need blue agave to make tequila.
Yeah, I just wish that, for their sake, I wish they hadn't put agave in the thing, because now I'm thinking of coffee with tequila in it.
Well, it's fermented agave.
Okay.
And maybe that's how they get the, the little sweetness in there, too. Mm. Anyway.
I'll tell you what, have you ever heard of that coffee that's quite expensive? Because a goat eats it and then shits the bean out, and then you make that bean into a coffee.
Yeah.
Wait, there's the monkey shit one, too, right?
Oh, mate, I want to drink some of that shit coffee.
That's like, the shit coffee is the most expensive coffee.
I want
some
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
If you're the bat shit or goat shit or monkey shit coffee plug, please at us on Twitter.
If anybody's ever had it, whether you thought it was worth it or not, we want to hear about it.
You know what? I think there is someone who's hitting me up on Twitter who, like, their account looked like they were just a wild barista or something.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this person, I know you're listening. Let me know about this cup of coffee. Maybe bring one through for me.
Right.
Because I would love to taste it.
And the idea is that the bean has been, like, through the digestive tract of this animal and
picking up all
it,
kinds
like,
of
picks
other
up all
dimensions.
Sorts of different things that allow you to see the matrix.
Yeah,
you allow you to see the next dimension.
I love the person who really went, was like, you know what? I'm going to try and drink this, though.
Yeah.
But that's how everything starts, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
If you think about, like, cuisine, this is one thing I love. Like, we can all enjoy flavors and nice meals.
Yeah.
But, like, not that long ago, people were going, let's try that flour with that meat, and then they just die.
Right.
And then,
right.
Oh, well, let's not do that flour with that meat anymore.
Yeah.
But now let's try that flour with that vegetable and that meat with something else.
Right.
Just to see which one it was.
You eat it, you still die, and they're like, all right, we got to figure out which, is it the meat, is it, or the flour? Oh,
right.
Boy.
All right, guys, let's talk about Netflix, because they have started canceling shows. I guess the fact that there are other places that are making content to be binged, such as Disney and Amazon and Apple and Hulu, are dumping like billions into their platforms. They're now having to get a little bit more serious about when a show's time is up.
Austerity did not seem like a thing that Netflix was into
at
all. But it seems, they announced that Orange is the New Black 7th season will be its last.
Right.
And then we all know House of Cards is done. But I think that's more for other reasons aside from just like, I think it's ran its course. They canceled Iron Fist. They canceled Michelle Wolf's show after a very brief
understandably canceled Iron Fist.
Yeah, I couldn't saw like two episodes, like, what is this?
Stop whining. Like, it annoyed me so much. He's got like a really strong fist.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to use my power for a... And he, not very good American accent, old bean, right? I don't want to use my power. Just use your fist, mate.
Yeah.
Use your fist for crime fighting.
Yeah,
fuck's
smash
sake.
The shit out of everything.
And also, it's set in a reality where fucking aliens are happening. Because Marvel, it's a Marvel universe. So
right.
Like, they know about the Avengers. And he's going, I don't want to use... There's Thanos. Why couldn't Thanos just click his finger and that fucking little shit went, died? Ooh, oh my god, Iron Fist. I did not like him.
Yeah. That's well, see, and
if you could tell.
It was one of those things, too, when they renewed it for a second season, that's when I was like, is Netflix off their shit?
I was very angry.
And that's when, you know, everyone was like, I guess Netflix just doesn't cancel anything because they have such deep pockets. You know, like their budget for programming is like $8 billion this year or next year.
And I believe $4 billion of that is for prison documentaries. I mean, how many locked up people do we need to talk to now?
Shout out to, I know one of the people who makes a lot of those locked up shows and they're laughing their ass off.
Mate, like to be a criminal now pays. Like,
right.
You know, because you
need an agent.
A, crime pays, and then as soon as you get locked up, just do a little documentary.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like your agent goes, you know, Eric, have you tried going the jailhouse reality route? Now, we'll do some light crime, nothing felonious, and then you'll play the sort of like puckish character within the jail reality show to get the likes.
Oh, and just so you know, you said felonious, so if you had shit sneakers, I would have respected you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very nice word. Go.
Thank you so much.
Felonious monk. So there was a shouting match. The shouting match heard around the world at the end of last week. The Johns, Kelly, and Bolton were yelling at each other in the White House. And we now know that the shouting match was over immigration. Mm-hmm. Bolton apparently sided with Trump, who is just out of his mind, angry at Homeland Security Secretary Kristjen Nielsen for failing to stop that caravan. Basically, he's just hopped up on Fox News, and John Kelly is like, God, shut the fuck up.
Man. Yeah, and I think John Kelly was also hot because he worked with Kristjen Nielsen when he was at DHS.
Right.
So then that doubly offended him. And then I guess when Trump sided with John Bolton about this, it just turned into a full-on shouting match as if the shit weren't cruel enough. What I don't know is, like, what were the two sides? Like, cruel and cruelest?
Yes.
Like, what the point, like, what they were like, I think we can be even harsher to these people who are trying to escape their impoverished lives or whatever the situation is.
Yeah. I think just as Trump's primary handler, Kelly is like, we try to de-escalate, motherfucker.
Right.
Like, settle down.
And then you have that old warmongering Muppet face of John Bolton who's like, rah, 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 rah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I know, like, initially people were like, someone's going to have to resign after this. And it's like, come on. The shit that's going down in that administration? Nah.
Yeah. But he's just getting angrier and angrier as this caravan gets closer and closer to the southern border and Fox News makes a bigger and bigger deal of it. He's now threatening to close the U.S.'s southern border with the U.S. military. So presumably Bolton and probably Stephen Miller are just in his ear, just going full Yago.
They're literally licking his ears from both sides at the same
time. That's disgusting.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry. Sorry to put that in everyone's minds, but picture that for a second.
On the midterm front, they are apparently just going full racism.
Yeah.
They're not happy about
Racismo.
The way things are going. Even though, so Drudge had a report saying that, the blue wave isn't coming and it, like the latest polling shows that the Democrats aren't even going to win the House.
What poll was that?
It was Reuters, or Reuters was reporting on some polling, whereas 538 is reporting that this is as high as the Democrats' chances have been to this point of taking back the House. So it's very confusing, different sides saying different things, but the Republicans are at least, you know, scared enough to go to their completely not secret weapon of just going full racist.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. So this robocall ad played in Arkansas's second district where the incumbent French Hill, I think the last poll, he was up by at least 8 or 10 points or something. This ad ran, and I'm sure people have heard it because it blew up because this for how intensely offensive this thing is. But just please take a listen to this robocall people were getting, and mostly in black areas. So this was aimed at black voters in Arkansas.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Uh-huh. Oh my fucking God.
This is what I mean by we all live in different realities.
Right.
Because if you believe shit like this, right? If you genuinely believe it, not like I believe it because it helps my agenda.
Give credence
to that, people believe that shit, they live in a different fucking world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that isn't... Oh, mate. This is why I sort of kept quiet while you two were talking about politics, because I've stopped fucking listening to these... Can I say the C word?
Yeah.
Cunts.
Yeah.
Like, because whatever public party, you know, there's pros and cons to maybe some things, right? But just if you listen to one party goes, can we lock up some children, please? Right? And the other one's like, can we give healthcare to everybody? Example. I mean, what is happening?
Yeah,
right.
Not just in America, but literally all over the world.
Yeah.
Countries are going, can we kill those people? And the rich are running it, and the poor are going, oh, mate, the rich, they want to look after the rich. We're totally voting for them. What the fuck are you doing?
right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, different realities.
And then you can't get annoyed because, you're an elite. You live in Hollywood. I live in a fucking basement with three other people. Fuck you. Right? And one day I will become an elite, hopefully.
Yeah.
But that's because I worked my bloody ass off.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
people, this, man. This is exactly what you're talking about. I mean, because it's, first of all, I don't even know where to begin how to talk about this thing. It's so, the idea that they're trying to create a frenzy among black voters that like lynch mobs are going to return because you will vote for a Democrat because they believed Christine Blasey Ford's accusations against Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
The leaps you have to make to even get to this reality are wild. And that's why I think, I don't know who that ad was for, because it was clearly made by a bunch of out of touch, wealthy white people who just think that they understand how people of color and black voters think in this country. That's just like, scare them with lynchings.
Right.
Lynchings. That was really scary for them.
That's the stuff they remember about black people. Their last interaction with black people was lynchings. So they're okay.
Isn't the current trend kind of terrifying? Like, I don't know that much about U.S. history.
Sure.
I don't think it'll go back to lynching, right? But didn't he just approve journalists getting killed? Didn't Trump just approve it?
I mean, essentially,
he just put kids in fucking cages?
Yeah.
I mean, surely, it's getting there where, every time he does a little thing, like, he puts kids in fucking cages and everyone's fucking cool with that, right? At some point, he's going to keep trying a little bit. Ooh, let's just try a little something else. At some point, could it lead to that? I mean, I don't know.
When you think about how many unarmed men and young boys of color are killed by police.
Right.
We're kind of already having another version of, you know, people being killed by the state or by people with different views on black people.
This is why I'm not a political comedian, because I don't find humor in what the fuck is happening.
No, it's very dark. Yeah, I mean, I think there's one version where you can try and laugh because you are so saddened by what's going on.
Right.
And I think that's the only way you can motivate yourself to be a political comedian right now, because what are you going to do? Just be really straight up and be like, this is a slow boil into just abject chaos.
And some comedians are so good at it. I mean, like, you know, John Oliver, Jim Jefferies, all of these people are really handling it amazingly.
But even our reactions to that material is like, you know, like you get a laugh and then you really realize like what the subject matter is, and then it's so disheartening. But anyway, the PAC, that the pack that put this together, as you heard at the end, were Black Americans for the President's Agenda. And, you know, when you do a little digging, because their financial disclosures are out there on the internet, you realize that it's fronted by this problematic black dude who says all kinds of wild shit. But when you go down the donors, it's like a lot of very interesting donors. One of their more standout donors is Charles Johnson, who is a, you know, GOP fucking super donor, but also the principal owner of the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, I'm curious, Giants fans, please talk to your man. Tell him to, you know, whatever. He wants to put his money wherever the fuck he's going to do it. But, like, this kind of shit is just so misleading, so offensive, so I'm at a loss.
And also, what I really enjoy about this administration at the moment is like every time you see like "woman for Trump" and it's just a white dude standing.
It's always
at the
white men.
And then it's like "black people for Trump" and it's just another white dude.
Just same white guy.
I believe that black people what they want.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Doing what's in their best interest.
I mean, and also just the way the caricatures they were presenting of these two women talking and just like what the fuck. That's why I tell my son don't get involved. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I don't know if they thought that would make more black voters in that area be like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll vote for French Hill because I believe that. I don't know who. I think that was for the people living in the reality bubble of
right.
those wealthy white donors who were behind that pack.
In 2 weeks, sister podcast Behind the Bastards is going to be releasing an episode that's all about the midterms, the bastards behind the midterms, and it has all sorts of stuff about robocalls and the evil that they're in. So be sure to
It's a horrible movie,
check
robocalls.
That out. Yeah, robocalls. So let's talk about Trump's relationship with journalists, because as we've talked about earlier last week, the journalist Jamal Khashoggi was murdered by the Saudi, basically by Mohammed bin Salman and his handlers. Like, there's footage of his main dude walking in the day of the murder. And Trump has used this opportunity to, and Trump late last week admitted that, yeah, the Saudi probably goes pretty high up that in Saudi Arabia, and they're probably responsible, and he was murdered, but he's not laying off. First of all, he's not, you know, committing to any actual reaction or any consequences. But he's also just not stopped talking shit about journalists.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had a rally in Montana last week. And some people might not remember this, but in the buildup to the 2016 election, there's this guy, Greg Gianforte, from out there. He body slammed a Guardian reporter who was just asking him a question, and because he's so aggro and unfit for office, he WWE'd this dude, and he still won, because that's just the reality some people live in, where that is cool. But then at this rally, Trump was just sort of like, yeah, he's my kind of guy, or like anyone who can do a, who body slams somebody, he's my kind of guy, and just sort of, you know, letting people know he co-signs these kinds of violent attacks on journalists. And yeah, when you couple that with just sort of his total inaction with the Khashoggi thing, it's just like, okay, so we're seeing now that he's slowly letting us embrace a world where we're like really just gonna, I don't know if this turns into like the rationalization for people to be like, well, I think that journalists deserve to be attacked.
Right.
And like, that's where we're slowly going to go
well,
to.
Well, yeah, they're very slowly, but they are actually in the process of moving in that direction. So while Trump is not saying anything about Khashoggi deserving it, you know, and by the way, we talked on an earlier episode about how the thing that got Khashoggi, like the order of silence from Mohammed bin Salman, was him talking shit about the Trump administration.
Right.
So, you know, Trump is basically directly implicated in this dude's death. Trump is not saying anything out loud, but hardline Republicans and conservative commentators are issuing basically a whisper campaign that's designed to, you know, protect President Trump from people saying that he should be more hardline on Saudi Arabia, and, you know, to make Khashoggi look bad.
Like a villain.
Yeah,
well,
like a villain.
That's the standard shit. Just like when there are unarmed young black men killed, oh, that was a man in a young man's body, or
right.
this dude is a thug, or he had a fucking... he was in a photo with a gun once.
Right.
Or Botham Jean had weed in his fucking house when the police officer came into his fucking house and shot him dead.
Right.
Like, this is just the same shit. Just smear the victim. Try and eliminate any empathy going in that direction. And
yeah.
be like, yeah, so once we just smear the shit out of this dude, then it'll be easier for people to swallow the fact that you just did fuck all. And we continue this relationship. You know, what's funny, too, when all the Republicans shout about fucking Sharia law and all this stuff, and he's, like, fully embracing the same, you know, I don't know. I just can't wrap my head around all this shit right now. And it's starting to become a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, when you're selling stuff and you're getting commission, right? That's basically what Trump's doing. He's how many billions of dollars of weapons has he sold to Saudi Arabia?
Well, right now the big deal he wants is like 110 right now, and I think with another like $200 or $300 billion coming down the pipeline over like 10 years.
Right. So when you've got a client who's going to get you big commission,
yeah.
Oh, can I kiss your penis, please? That's essentially what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He loves money, and that's all. That's his God. His money. His God. God is his money. So as long as we're talking
and
dollars,
really,
it makes sense.
You know what's really shitty is we all know that Trump must be so sad, right?
Right.
Like, what kind of life does he like? We all know that at some point, you know, money's useful. You got to pay some bills and stuff like that.
Right.
But most people I know, once you've got like maximum $100,000 in the bank, you kind of don't need any more, and that's a lot of money. $100,000. Right. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like, oh, I need some more money.
Yeah.
More money.
It's right. Like an addiction.
He's going to die just surrounded by gold. And he's going to be like, this is
Because I know in his fantasy world, he pulls up to the Academy Awards and was like, Donald Trump. And Jay-Z comes up to him and is like, you're the man. And Beyonce is like, yeah. No, but I'm not. But, you know, he so deeply wants the attention or the approval of like traditional celebrities, like all the ones like the De Niro's of the world, like this guy's a fucking asshole or whatever. Like if he had that, he would be like, I'm on cloud nine. But I think that's what's killing him inside slowly too, is like, cause you can tell the shit that he wants to be part of the crowd that he isn't part of. That's why he talks so ill of his own supporters sometimes. Right. And like secretly he's like, oh, they're slobs. Yeah. It's like, oh, this place sucks.
At the same time, I think if he got any of the things he thinks he wants,
yeah, he'd never
still
be
miserable. Yeah, he's just got that, the world's biggest black hole in the middle of his soul.
What if you got all new hair, though? What if he said, I can get your hairline back to when you were 9 years old?
Yeah, then I think he'd finally
be happy.
Just a
nice, strong hug.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just come here, mate. Trump, yeah. Come here.
Mm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Look, you fucked up quite a lot.
Right.
Let's fix some things.
Right, and I think another thing to point out as a... Nick Super Producer Stump was pointing out was just sort of the tie-in and relationship of like Kushner and his need for money for his building, which is still on, what was it, 666, what the fuck is the address?
Fifth Avenue
or whatever. He's got that. They have their own little WhatsApp group that they talk in. And, you know, the relationship with the Saudis because of their oil production is one that is further complicates things and adds other dimensions to this. For example, as Anna Hosni slides me this note, you know, like oil price is already going up and that's already pissing Trump off. Like, what are we going to, it's,
So, I mean, the specific things that are being said,
just like, oh, God,
the equivalent of a Facebook post where the, you know, black kid who got shot by the cops was smoking weed. The equivalent of that for Khashoggi is that he was tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, like, early in his career, like, once said something that was vaguely positive about them and has since, like, spent his career talking about, like, speaking out against things like that. And then he was also embedded as a reporter covering Osama bin Laden, like, a really huge get to actually, like, go and travel around with Osama bin Laden and report on that. And now... Donald Trump Jr. is like, yeah, he was palling around with Osama bin Laden. And there's like Fox News shows that are saying Khashoggi was tied to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah.
It just shows you how they're willing to fucking do anything.
Yeah.
To just all in the name of money.
I mean, I agree that we should hurt some journalists.
Which ones? Call them out.
Okay, well, let's say all these In Touch magazines and these Star magazines, right?
Aren't journalists, Eric.
Yeah, but they call themselves journalists. Like,
do they?
Don't they?
I don't know. If I met somebody who was like, I'm a journalist, I go, oh, who do you write for? And they go, OK Magazine. I would say, get the fuck out of my face.
But isn't that a type of journalism? Like, oh, so what's Katy Perry up to? Oh, look how fat her knees are.
I guess
are.
By... I mean, if you're just merely just looking at pictures and commenting, I don't know if that makes you a journalist.
I don't understand why people are annoyed at people trying to find the truth. That, right. Again, that for me is fascinating. Hey, he's trying to find the truth and make the world a better place.
Yeah, well, people are just too, their egos are too fragile. And I think at some level, especially if you're doing bad shit, on some level, some people do know that what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
And a journalist only brings that mirror up to your face. And I think that's a sensation people like that just do not want to experience at all. You know?
Self-reflection.
Yeah.
So, producer Anna Hosni, you look like you have something to say about
I just wanted to add that he's basically being punished for being a journalist who had access to the Muslim Brotherhood and Bin Laden, who was out there doing a very dangerous job, which was reporting both sides of what was happening in the Middle East when it right. comes to like terrorism and or extremist groups. It's something that most people are not capable of doing. And he was able to get in there, interact with Bin Laden, interact, travel with the Muslim Brotherhood, and see what was happening with his own eyes and report on it, which is not something you necessarily should be punished for, because it's kind of a very fascinating angle that we as people in America who mostly follow the mainstream media will never understand or learn about unless someone's out there. And it's crazy that he basically is being smeared with that.
Well, that's the point. That's yeah. the point they want to obscure it. They're trying to remove the fact that he is a journalist. They're just saying he's a terrorist.
Yeah, so and, he right. and what it. You actually described was really good journalism. Yes. Because yes, you're right. showing two sides of the story. Because there's right. always two sides of the story. Yeah. And he got.
And I, you know, also want to make a point that if he was someone who did get involved with the actual terrorism aspect of the people he was with, he would have not in present day been writing for the Washington right. Post. He would not have gotten as far as he has. The Washington Post doesn't give columns to like terrorists. It doesn't really work like that. It means his work was worth enough value for him to get as far as he did. And I think that's what's getting completely disregarded in this whole situation.
Well, that's, yeah, I think everyone who understands what the reality of the situation is all knows that. But this is just such a sad attempt at trying to just like use these really suspect arguments yeah. To equate him to a terrorist. Let's say he was a fucking wild liar journalist or whatever. The fact is, he's exercising his right to free speech either way. And I don't think he wasn't saying anything that was necessarily slanderous or whatever. It was just the fact that he was exposing things, and that was suppressed, and that cost him his life. No, and I don't think
no government kills someone that's a bit crazy. They kill the one that knows something.
Right. Of course. They right. know people right. who are a threat or who can right. get other people to wake up to
the
something.
The end. The end of the conversation. Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. surely why are we. Well, why is everyone debating about who he is as a person?
Well, like, we're not. They like, are. They're just, they're trying to no, figure no, out I know, how I know, but why, it,
that's
yeah.
like, for me, that's just it, like, done, move on.
In this case, I yeah. feel like it's the most insecure of governments. Because when you put a 30-year-old in charge, the whole time, he hasn't built up his skin to be like, nah, it doesn't matter what they say. I'm the one that's in charge. That's what matters.
Right.
Now, you have a 30-year-old who probably reads Twitter, sees shit about him, and is just like, well, fuck that. I will right. not have this. I will make sure that man is dead because he looked at me the wrong way. Literally, it's the equivalent of he stepped on my shoes and now he's dead because I run this powerful regime and that's the way I want it. It is like a child president.
Yeah. Boy king.
Well, yeah, boy king, exactly.
He's also trying to impress a guy who is the most insecure human being on the world in the world, who is our president. And so he, you know.
This is what two tiny weenies does.
Yeah, I just don't think it should be underrated that he told Khashoggi to be silent after he criticized Donald Trump. That's crazy.
Don't fuck my checkup.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Rihanna was asked by the NFL to do the halftime show of the Super Bowl, which would have actually been cool. If it weren't the
NFL,
yeah. But I mean, a halftime show. Halftime shows are like, you know, 20 to 30 minute concerts that are like the biggest live music event of the year in the United States, like on television. And I would love to see it from what Rihanna would do with that instead of fucking. What is it? Not Sum 41, but
Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. 41.
Yo, could you imagine? Yeah, so it's Maroon 5, right?
They're in the same camp as for me. It's just like some people who had a hit song a while ago that I don't
put Sum 41.
Yo, it's like, yo, I don't know. I like some your reality. Whack, like K-rock shit. Yeah. Like, fuck off.
It's Maroon 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, apparently they asked her before it settled on Maroon 5, and she was like, that's a hard pass for me. You know, out of solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, who's been blacklisted essentially from the NFL and just over the whole kneeling issue. So she was like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't really want anything to do with the new plantation system. So you can ask someone else.
Right.
So good on you, Riri.
Yeah, I love that. Rihanna, if you're not going to do it, we're going to get Maroon 5.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what if they had told her? Do you think she would have done it then, like for the people?
No. She's doing this for the people.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also shout out to her too, because apparently Fenty Beauty is like about to take over all, like even all the Kardashians cosmetics shit.
Yeah.
So you know what, Riri, keep doing your ting.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do a quick Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch. It's pretty quick. I mean, look, we all know Eric is, as you might know, last time you were here,
let's see what these journalists have to say.
Oh, that's an old one. That's an old one here. Oh. You can look at some of these, but we're just looking at the cover stories. Last time you were here, this was Harry and Meghan were not married yet.
Right.
And now you're back. This full on baby time.
She's having a baby.
How are you? What's the vibe with you? Do you care?
I don't care.
Like last time I asked, like, you said I don't care.
I don't give a shit. Like, genuinely, Americans love the royalties more than the UK does.
Right.
And now, obviously, probably more because you have an American that's infiltrated the Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
And I bet, oh my God, I bet the proper royal nuts, the right-wing people in the UK must be going mad. Yeah.
Is that right-wing over there? Like, that's what Fox News in the UK would be into, is royal shit?
No,
but the idea of a non-white.
It's like a non-white American.
Right.
You know,
I see what you're saying.
Run-of-the-mill racism, Jack.
But I guess the difference with the Buckingham Palace and stuff is that they don't really have a say in politics.
Right, exactly.
So I guess, like, there's not as much anger. It's just ambivalence over there towards them. Like, all right, you know.
What's funny is, like, on which one is this? No, it's on Us Weekly. Has Megan on, says, "Why I can't wait to be a mom." It says the scary health crisis she overcame, and the Queen's adorable reaction when you go in there, like, "Oh, damn! I wonder if the Queen did something. Like, did she, you know, have like a fun joke or something?" And all they say is, "In a sweet moment, Queen Elizabeth, who's formed an especially close bond with Megan, took the opportunity to, quote, congratulate them in person for the first time."
Wow, she does not usually come out of her chair like
that. Yeah, that is adorkable, Elizabeth. That's adorkable, Lizzie.
I mean, so one thing that the gossip world is saying is that Meghan made the announcement that she was pregnant at
Eugenie's
wedding, which is
who is Eugenie?
Not
even
cool. I don't know. Some royal, someone
just
is
another royal
part of that.
There's loads
if
of them.
It ain't,
mate,
if it ain't someone coming, an offshoot of Charles and Diana, it ain't real to me.
They're like fucking gerbils. They're fucking each other all the time, just making tiny little bloody royals everywhere.
Fiefdoms everywhere.
It's annoying. Speaking of, like, assassination, though, that is supposedly what they did to, you know, Princess Diana.
Right.
Right.
Because she was dating
Dodi Al-Fayed.
Yeah. And I don't think the Queen was very happy with that.
Yes. His dad, owns Harrods, right? Muhammad Al-Fayed?
Yeah.
And also Fulham FC for a time, which is why the Michael Jackson Stadium was outside Craven Cottage. Some EPL facts for you.
Just very, very interesting timing that it all happened in the tunnel where there was no CCTV.
Right. Yeah. Oh. I really... Oh, there's a conspiracy music. not quite a conspiracy, though. And Life and Style, they have a real... I didn't know that Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden from Good Charlotte were together.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, color me.
Oh, how'd you feel?
Shocked. it's just weird. He has like a weird tattoo hairline on his head. That's not a wave, y'all. If you're bald, just shave that.
Oh, my God. I just saw a picture of a woman with wrinkles.
Get him a bucket.
No, but apparently they fight all the time, I guess, Benji and Cameron Diaz. And it says, like, at Gwyneth Paltrow's Hamptons wedding, according to a source, the 46-year-old actress got into a heated argument with the Good Charlotte Rocker, 39, during the reception. Cameron tried her best to hold it together, but she made more than one teary-eyed trip to the bathroom. It would just be so bizarre to see Cameron Diaz out in public fighting with Benji Madden to me.
I'll tell you what I've just really enjoyed here. So I'm reading In Touch magazine, ironically, and there is on the page the Barack and Michelle Obama Inaugural Ball 10th Anniversary Masterpiece Tribute. So you can buy this.
What is it?
They're dancing.
Oh, it's a figurine, like a statuette?
It's a figurine, right? And wow. I feel like the people that are fans of Obama's probably don't read In Touch as much.
Well, In Touch is the woke one.
Oh, it's
no,
the woke
I'm sorry,
one?
Sorry, it's not. Sorry, I'm looking at this week's In Touch, which is Melania, my side of the story.
Oh, that's the
revealed
one.
The real reason she's the world's most bullied person. So, yeah, take her at her word.
No, this is OK is the one that isn't issued by owned by David Pecker,
who is Trump's homie.
Yeah. But then another thing they talk about is, you know, we talk about Selena Gomez, like how she went to go to like a mental health treatment with all her, like, I guess her health diagnoses. And then now they're just being like, nah, she's just all bummed out that Justin Bieber got married behind her, like, all quick and shit.
Right.
And then there's another wild headline, which is, I think you have. Oh, no, it's over here. Star, where it says Saving Selena, the psychiatrist tells all. Yo, who the fuck? What? Like,
what kind of
think,
psychiatrist is that? Like, tell me all your problems. We're live on TMZ.
And then I'm just going to fucking sell this shit to someone else. But really, when you go inside, like, I guess they have a team of therapists and psychologists that they hire to just wildly speculate on people's issues. And that's what that is. So. Right.
Speaking of the Melania Trump thing, though, like, you know, it is sad. She probably does get bullied a lot.
By her husband.
Which, yeah. But probably by her husband a little bit. We've seen footage. So it is quite sad. You shouldn't bully anyone.
No.
But then also, Melania, you know, I'm sure Eva Braun got some shit. Right?
Yeah.
Do you but think please, so? It is not me that did this.
But right. Do you think there are people in Nazi Germany that saw Eva and they're like, oh, fuck, I'm Eva, dog. She probably, right. I hate her.
Yeah.
I hate her, man.
And she had like, oh, yeah.
But everyone had to be like, oh, wow. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
Eva, nice jacket.
I think it's a different, you know, the different regimes where like people can talk out the side of their neck out here right yeah. now, for
there
now.
There was a decade where Hitler and the Nazis were wildly unpopular in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they just slowly came to power. And then once they took over, it was like, well, we're at war. I guess
also, another good Behind the Bastards episodes.
Yes.
Episode where you hear about the non-Nazi bastards that helped the Nazis become full bastards. Because all you need are complicit judges and politicians to kind of vibe with. And you can go from wildly unpopular to suddenly but total
again,
power.
Yeah, that's the thing. Again, it takes time. You know, like people say World War II was 1939 to 1945. But really, like, it started much earlier than that. Wasn't 33, isn't that when he came into power?
Yeah, right. But think about, all that time in between the end of World War One to get there.
Just sprinkle a little something. Kids in cages. Mm-hmm. Just a little something.
Yeah. All you need is somebody who's overcompensating for something. Like what the Knight of Long Knives. I bet they were long Hitler.
You know are you folding a paper airplane over
I
there?
I am, dude.
I like how you just kind of need to do some self-care real quick and be like, I'm going to use this subscription card.
And keep the hands hold on, busy.
What's your paper airplane style there? Doesn't seem very...
You don't have that?
Oh, that looks like one of the...
It's like a fighter jet paper
I was terrible at fucking folding paper airplanes
as a kid.
Clearly,
if you don't know the style. Yeah. I mean, this is just basic.
I remember seeing it in a movie. Oh, and... Oh my God. Anna, your eye. Okay, shh. You're going to ruin the show. Let's go bleed outside.
And another thing, just with regards to the media, because I feel like we're getting to this point where people are like, oh, I'm so tired of reading stories about Trump. The 10 years, like when Hitler first came to power, all stories were about like the Nazis are fucking crazy, huh, guys?
Yeah.
And then like 6 years later, nobody was writing about them because it was just like, yeah, we're fucking over that.
Accepted fact.
Yeah, we're done. Enough with the Nazi stuff. Can we start talking about something else?
No, we got to keep talking about it.
Right.
Because or else, you know, there's like we said, it's a slow march into that shit. And next thing you know, you're in the Matrix.
That's right. Well, we're all in the Matrix, so none of it matters. Am I right, guys?
As long as I can be a mouse. Remember Tasty Wheat?
No.
That was what he says in the Matrix.
Oh.
When he gets on the ship, he's like, remember Tasty Wheat? And he's like, what the fuck? Nah, bro. You live in a weird ship underground. Anyway, that's my Matrix reference for the day.
Do you fuck with cereal?
Nah. I don't fuck with it. Not anymore.
Cereal lately. Raisin Bran Crunch.
Wait, why did you just bring that up? Oh, because I said Tasty Wheat? Yeah, well, he was talking, I think it was more of like a, what's the other fucking wheat shit that's like oatmeal that people eat?
Oh, wheat.
Weetabix.
No,
not Weetabix. Yeah, it's a cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat.
Cream
is
of
what
wheat.
I think he was referring to because they were just eating sludge down there.
Eric.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thanks for having me, and apologies if I was just anger. Was
no,
just,
well, no.
This is quite therapeutic sometimes.
Yeah. That is the natural reaction to this.
Except you get to go home, and then I have to read the news again.
Where can people find you?
You know, my name. I do have a couple of podcasts called Topical Island, and then the other one, Comedian Cinema Club. And that's quite fun. It's a weekly thing. If you enjoy me getting stoned and talking nonsense, that is what I do. And it's not political heavy. And I also have an album coming out on the 9th of November called Alien of Extraordinary Ability.
Remember the 9th of November.
Action. Mm-hmm.
And tell them about the Topical Island podcast, because I believe somebody recently called it out as a great podcast on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just in studio. But anyway,
like as a reference. Yeah,
right. Somebody, that doesn't count then.
Well, we're saying it right now.
Either way, one of our very funny guests said that your podcast is very funny. Tell the listeners what it's about.
So basically, I get stoned and I have like these sound effects that I do where like I live on an island with my mate Gregory, who's a chimpanzee. And so if I don't have a guest, I can have a full conversation with this chimpanzee where obviously it's just, you're listening to a man have a full breakdown.
Well, hi.
And it's basically like it's just Wikipedia. I'll choose one topic It used to be topical, so that's why it was called Topical Island. It used to be topical. And then I realized that genuinely for my mental health, to read the news all the time actually wasn't healthy for me. I know some people can handle it, like you two. He says as he's folding more and more planes.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And so now I just choose a topic that I really enjoy. And it is fun. It's a bit, it's science and philosophy mixed with a little bit of silliness.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
So is there a tweet you've been enjoying that you can share with our listeners?
So there's like, you know, I think it's called Thought of the Dog.
Thought of the dog.
And it's just a dog. Obviously, it's a human being, but or an AI bot.
We don't know.
But it's just a dog's viewpoint on life. Mm-hmm. It's just always very positive because dogs are always like just wagging their tails and very happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, among the Trump tweets and the Saudi Arabia tweets, you get a little thought of the dog. And he's just like, hey, guys, just so you know, water's great. Oh, thanks.
Water is good.
I love animal accounts like that.
Fuck yeah.
Shout out to bird rights activists.
Mm-hmm. Miles.
Yeah?
Where can people find you?
Man, you can find me getting high as shit.
Yeah.
Bye.
We got that.
Okay, fine. If you really want to find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, a tweet that I like. This isn't really funny. It's just a very interesting thing from Reddit that someone took screenshots of and uploaded. It's from at Sturgeons_law. And basically, the tweet is TLDR, too long, didn't read. But guy takes his girlfriend to see Jordan Peterson speak. She immediately tells him she wants to see other people. He doesn't understand why. And this guy basically posted in the Jordan Peterson subreddit about how, like, Jordan Peterson changed his life and he kept trying to get his girlfriend to go with him to speak. And when they did, she was just like, oh my goodness, sir, we can't do this anymore. And he's like, I don't understand. And then someone reads him so thoroughly. They're like, let me just break down, even in your telling of this, why you are someone no one would want to be with.
Wow.
And it's quite interesting. Although the man who was describing the situation, very level-headed and describing his like downfall.
Really?
He must not be American.
I feel like that happens on Reddit. Like, people are just like, yeah, so it turns out I'm a douchebag. Like, sometimes people will just comment. Like, not always.
Right.
It's not known for its level-headed commenters, right. But sometimes you'll get just somebody who is completely objective.
But,
about...
yes, I will pin this to my account if you want to see that, because it is just, oh my gosh, man. Jordan Peterson's got some of these young men so fucked up.
All right. A tweet that I've been enjoying is from Brian Thurman, Brian J. Thurman, at Brian J. Thurman. He let us know that Danielle Radford, who was guest on this very show at the end of last week, is now featured for Feet of the Day on WikiFeet.
Yeah!
So
drop the bomb. Hell yeah.
Miles told her about WikiFeet, the existence of WikiFeet, and she was like, oh, let me see my page. And of course she had one, because everybody has one. And she was like, oh, my rating is not great. And she requested that she get some love from the Zeit Gang, and now she is Feet of the Day. So fuck yeah, Zeit Gang, fuck yeah, Danielle Radford.
WikiFeet ratings for sale.
Yes.
Anybody
out there? that's gonna be our new business model.
Yeah.
I don't wanna be covering that up with some sneakers.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Let them toes breathe.
Let them breathe.
Let them little toes breathe.
Let the world know.
So on top of just doing ratings, a couple Zeit Gang, I see you out there, were posting comments about her feet. But the one that was just, this is by the user, Dynamite24. It said, everything you could pop, because people were like, some people were like, I don't understand why this is Feet of the Day. And then someone just put, everything you could possibly want in feet, such as the presence of bones, joints, muscles, skin, etc. The picture makes them appear corporeal and three-dimensional, which are also good qualities to have in feet. I imagine they are body temperature too, which is also a nice feature. Beautiful. Just the bare minimum. But
no,
beautiful.
That man
feet.
Likes feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in concept and in practice.
Yes.
Loves feet. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that in the show notes. And what song are we going to ride out on today, Miles?
Okay, this is an artist called Topaz Jones, and the track is called Toothache. And he's like a singer, rapper, you know, very multi-genre person. you know, like on that new funk kind of thing. And the production is really good because it almost sounds like some old, like 80s kind of vibey track. But, you know, the man is vibing right now in 2018. He's not a time traveler. He's just here to give you the goods and make your big toe shoot up in your boot, as we like to say.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. So thank you.
Y'all know what this is. It's the groovy punch sipping, stereo whipping, loud sweat dripping, like collard greens and chitlins. It's Topaz Jones.
I try to keep composure, but Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.